because she needed a slightly different from what they are. When we talk, she came to her.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing fine, Allison. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
We have a very interesting show tonight. I will be talking with Michael, who has some Bigfoot encounters, but they're not way out in the middle of the wilderness. They're right inside his town. They're not on Main Street.
I'd be kind of curious how that works.
Yeah.
Like if Bigfoot has an apartment.
There was a Bigfoot sighting in Baltimore, I believe, in the 1970s, like somewhere along... What's the creek, the falls, the Jones Falls Creek?
Oh, really?
Like somewhere, but it was like within the city limits of Baltimore. Really curious about that one. I read about it and I never was able to like dig up the details.
It's entirely possible no one would notice.
A Bigfoot in Baltimore.
Yeah.
They're there regularly.
Yeah.
They just don't stand out.
Exactly.
But yeah, he's having these like sort of Bigfoot encounters that are in these wooded areas and stuff, but they're kind of, again, within the town limits or on the edge of town and stuff. And he's got some other strange stuff that goes along with it. Very interesting stories from Michael coming up. Before we get to Michael's story, just want to thank our patrons. Thank you, patrons. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for your support. We could not do Strange Familiars without our patrons. They help us make this content, and they get extra content for it. 2 full extra episodes of Strange Familiars every month for our patrons. So if you like what we do and you'd like to get more content, more Strange Familiars, you can go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Check out all the different tiers of support there. There are monthly payment options. There are yearly options. You get a discount if you do the yearly option. But no matter what tier of support you choose, you get those 2 full extra episodes of Strange Familiars every month. Go ahead and check it out. patreon.com/strangefamiliars. We've got some patron shows upcoming soon for this month. I think they're all going to be on a theme.
Should we give away the theme?
I don't know. I think we better record them first because we're not sure whether they're going to be 2 shows or 3 shows or more. We're going to record them and see how they break up. There might be 2 shows or 3 shows, or we'll see. We have to record them first. There's a lot of content to kind of spread out throughout the episodes. I guess we could give a little hint.
Yeah. Is this considered part of the cryptid phenomenon, or this is like tangential monsters?
I would say it's tangential paranormal stuff.
This is something we haven't returned to in a while. Vampires.
Yeah, with maybe a little side dash of reanimated things, if we get into that.
It is summertime. Haunted summertime.
And there's your hint. All right, so let's go ahead and talk to Michael. Tonight we're talking with Michael, who has some stories to share with us. You said the magical word. You said Bigfoot, so I'm excited to hear about that. And it sounds like some of these encounters happen in town. Is that correct?
All of them.
That's...
In town, in my backyard, in my neighborhood.
See, that's super interesting. I've come across in doing research for Where the Footprints End, people have had Bigfoot encounters in the middle of cities and parks, and I've actually been called out on some encounters that were in people's backyards and residential neighborhoods. So it does happen. And I've said before that people often think you need, hundreds of miles of untapped wilderness to have a Bigfoot encounter, and it really doesn't seem like you do. They can be a lot closer than anyone realizes.
I totally agree with you. In fact, all the ones that I've filmed, if I look to my left, I can see the tree where the head popped out and all the entities along with it. And I got the other ones. One of the best places I've filmed them are actually, there's a ravine directly. There was a stream and wood directly running next to Kroger's. Let's talk about this because I listened to you about there's like certain topography and certain things that seem to have, there's a correlation, a connection maybe. Like you brought up Corey's.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Just a mile west of me, mile and a half, This was called Centennial Quarry, and one they turn it into like a swimming pool-like place, mm-hmm. and where they have concerts and all that kind of stuff. But there are other ones. There's like five or six of them. So and there's a stream that runs right through the middle of my town. Okay, it's called Ten Mile Creek. As it goes east towards Lake Erie, it's called Ottawa River. Then it runs into the bay, the Maumee Bay. There's like a stream that just over here that connects it as well, about it's a quarter of a mile from where I'm sitting. And my town is called Sylvania, Ohio. I'm directly on the border of Michigan. Okay.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people say, I'm going to tell you the name and all that. I understand. But where I come from, what I'm at this point, I don't care if they send a whole platoon of people here to research this place. The only thing that's going to happen is it's going to validate everything that I've gone through. You know what I mean? That's how I see it.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to run these things out. And you're not going to be able to bring your guns and everything in, because it's the middle of town, so I don't worry about that. And if you're trying to find something from me, you know, physical and all that, that's not going to happen either. You know what I mean? And I share all my images. I could give all my images to anybody, because I want people to know what's going on. But so there's stream going on. My first major sighting was in the middle of a Roman Catholic cemetery, where there was what I call a nest. Also, on the other side of the stream that I said is east of me, a quarter of a mile, that connects into Ten Mile Creek, there's a huge cemetery as well. There's cemeteries. There's a whole bunch of trees. And that's a big issue when it comes to Bigfoot. And then, of course, there's the orb things that I experienced. There's UFOs and all this. It's super, it got super, 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 super high strangeness the moment I decided to go out in the field myself. And once they realized that I realized, the game was on for them.
Interesting. That's interesting. That's super mm-hmm. interesting, really. Because there's this idea, and many Bigfoot witnesses have said, that once you see them, then you will see more. And I find that very interesting. I don't think that it's necessarily people learning how to spot them, you know? I think there's more to it than that.
They're watching us. And not only are they watching us, everyone that I've filmed has never been alone. There's always a whole bunch of other entities with them of different size and shapes. Some people will call them spirits. Mm-hmm. But from my research and researching the stars and what's in the sky and what they're doing down here, there's a huge connection with all of it. I know we all say there's no such thing as an expert, but I can tell you one thing. I'm an expert in my own opinion of what I've seen.
Well, that's what we want. That's very valuable to me, and that's why I try to let witnesses frame their own experiences, because you were there, I wasn't. Let's get into it. How did it first start happening? What was your first experience with these things?
In 2017, I was super, super fed up with everything. And I was this dude, and I still am. I'm a person that believes in the God of the Bible, the Lord of all spirits. I could care less if you believe it or not. I'm not going to push it on you. But I just know from my experience that it really was important. But at the time, I was so discouraged, because I intensely studied the 66 books of the Bible. Besides that, it really was crushing my faith in God and all that. And I want to go a completely different direction. I was this guy who was a truther, right? So I was sharing all this different stuff that's going on. So what was the one thing in the world, the most foreboding thing in the world, if you're a truth through the research, is Bigfoot. Everyone thinks it's a joke, right? I thought it was a joke. I said, well, you know what? This is my way of giving the big middle finger to everybody. I'm going to go research Bigfoot, and I'm going to share it with the rest of the people. And so I started interviewing these people that had experiences with Bigfoot, and I gave them the opportunity, and I said, you know, I'm not going to judge these people. I'm going to find out for the truth for myself. I've learned how to research. I have a background, by the way, folks, and for whatever it's worth, I mean, I'm in the 90s, going to college and university, and there's a big push, and throughout the United States. And environmental science, that's the big thing they did to do, right? So I got involved in that. I had a degree in environmental management. I was working on a degree in environmental management and environmental science. I was working for an environmental consulting firm. I was the type of dude that started my own business designing nature trails and greenscaping, designing bogs and wildflower meadows and you name it. You know what I mean? I was really into the whole thing, and I wanted to really prove to the developers and all that and the importance of preserving as much of the parcel land that they were developing or restoring it, because I learned real fast that people want to have trees and something, they want something green between them and their neighbor's backyard. They will pay extra money for it. And I always was a person who was involved in nature in the same places, some of the same places as a child that I was tromping around in the woods or along the creek. In the end, would turn around and end up seeing these things, right? Fascinating, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It comes
yeah.
back to this familiar spirits type of thing, right? And it could possibly be a connection. I don't know. But one thing is, as I was learning and learning, I was hearing all these different people and everyone's different perspectives. And I was hearing the same kind of rote, programmed responses and what Bigfoot is and what's not. And I finally, you know, I'm going to have to go out on my own and do this. There ain't no way I'm going to know for real if this anything is legit or not. So I decided, where I'm at in Northwest Ohio, they have what's called Oak Openings, and this used to be a very unique place. There used to be the Black Swamp. You should be able to ice skate all the way from southeast Michigan all the way to the Maumee River in the wintertime. We're talking about a 30 to 40 mile. You could go from that. Literally, that's how people have traveled, because it was a swamp. It was Black Swamp full of trees and all that kind of stuff. And then there was this meadows. We called Oak Opening Savannah, in which at one time there were like wild bison here and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it was a unique place in America. And of course, we wiped it all out. But at one time, this was going on. And so I decided I was going to go into Oak Openings Park there. And I said, well, that probably would be the best place where I'm at to see any tree structures and maybe see Bigfoot, right? Mm-hmm. So, out of all things, and being ignorant, not really believing anything, I also even took my son. At the time, it was six. And I said, well, you know, we'll just drop around the woods and have fun. You know what I mean? Well, anyways, I go into the park and drive a couple miles in. And I'd learned enough about tree structures and all that and what to look for. And I said, there's an X structure over here. And that was the other side of the street. So I pull on the side, and there's like sand dunes there. And we have like native cactus here where we're at now. It's called prickly pear. So I like, well, that doesn't look like I'm going to find too many tree structures there. I'll go into the woods there. And literally, I'm not kidding. Direct 90-degree angle from my car going straight into the woods, no more than 25 feet in the woods, go past the edge of the woods right into it. And there's a massive tree structure. I don't know if I send it to you, but it's huge. It's one of these things with huge trees. You're making like the teepee shape thing, in which me and my son could literally walk under it and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow, is that easy? And that was the beginning of the high strangeness. And he just got weirder from there, dude. I'm telling you, man, I decided when I came back into town, I said, you know, because of my MS and all that, there's no way I'm going miles into the woods. It's just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. My health is not going to allow me. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to find tree structures and everything, then signs of Bigfoot closer to the road. So I started going places like whenever there might be groves or a patch of trees or something that might indicate some kind of Bigfoot stuff. And this is like within a week and a half later, I'm at this Roman Catholic cemetery on a road called Ravine. And in there, there's what some people call a holler, right?
Okay.
And with a stream that goes through it, it's only about 2 feet wide, but it's constantly growing. And there's this tree, a massive tree. It's big. I mean, we're talking bare minimum 60 feet tall with at least a 2.5 to 3 foot diameter trunk and about 4 feet up. And there is no reason for this. It's just like something decided, and there's no tornadoes, no storms, no nothing. like something just decided to just take that and push that thing over into the ravine. And so it was a big break. I got a couple pictures of it. I had a lot more pictures of it. As time went on, I got so frustrated and freaked out from all the high strangeness that I got rid of a lot of stuff because I just didn't want to see it. I didn't want to look at the images. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever gone through that. It just like makes you sick internally looking at these, I call them entities or spirits.
I've had to take a break from it. There are times where it just, the experience of it just gets overwhelming. For me, I just have to take a break for a while.
So in the course of about a week to 2 weeks, I'm starting to see these things, feel these things. And in this ravine, what happened was I'm looking into the ravine and paying attention to what's going on. And I'm seeing what looks like black heads popping out behind this tree. And it's a big tree, man. It's got all these big branches, right? And it still had the leaves on it, right? And it's huge. And so the tree, when it fell over to this ravine or whatever, pushed it over to this ravine, which that's what I believe happened, because there was no way. I understand, you know, somebody understands botany and behavior trees, and if they're infested with certain types of insects and what happened. There's nothing naturally that caused that thing to fall over the way it did and break the way it did. It took an extreme amount of force to push that thing over into this ravine. And the branches are high, like they're up to like 15, certain parts, you know, 15 feet high, right? And it's covering the ravine, it's covering the stream and all that kind of stuff. But on the other side, I'm seeing like these black, that looks like black heads, but it can't really distinguish the face. You can't really distinguish anything else other than this like blackish type, conish type, pyramid type thing is popping up. And there's more than one. I started realizing maybe that might be what people call as a Bigfoot nest. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what it is. And I was going to climb into that dang thing. And in the ravine, and we're talking, when I say I'm seeing this, I'm talking it was no more than 25, 30 feet away from my face.
Okay.
So it's not like 100 yards away or 200 yards away. Prior to hooking up with this Crow Indian shaman to practice dark shamanism, dark magic, and he will find out. As I'm like doing research, and there was a Friday night prior to it, there was super high strange. Has anybody had one of those moments when you're in the field or you're in the moment, and time seems not only to stop, but it just seems like this heavy, like the ether seems to be heavy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, oh, yes.
You know, like you're cutting through something besides air. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking around town I'm on, and now in the other cemetery, because there's a deep holler or a ravine of that one little stream that I said is a quarter mile east of me that goes eventually into the 10 Mile Creek. So it's deep. And I figured, you know, maybe there's something going on there, right? Mm-hmm. So I then go to like, it was turned into a bunch of apartments, high-class apartments. At the time, it was this beautiful field, and from 100 yards, and I'm in the field, and maybe no more than 100 yards, then there's the edge of the 10 Mile Creek, and there's a creek, and there's a path as well. It goes, this is now the beginning of August, it's super humid, and I see, not in the corner of my eye, but I watch this image, this entity, go from west to east on the north side of the creek. And it was brown, beigeous, and it was big. And the way it moved, it was like somebody was like, you ever heard like they're described and people talk about it, they see this Bigfoot or Sasquatch, it's almost like it looked like they're a cyclist going, you know what I mean? Because it goes so fast, right?
Yeah.
And I watched this thing, one, two, three, and it covered from east to west easily 80 yards, 100 yards. I'm like, and it was big. And the first thing, that must have been a cyclist on that path. Even though it's a path, it's not really meant for cyclists to go that fast. It's a path and it's paved, but it's really more for walking. You know what I mean? It's got holes and everything. You know, just neglect type of thing. It's not really, I mean, you can ride your mountain bike or something that's off-road, but it's not really designed for somebody to be some racing bike, you know, Bravo Bianchi or something like that going down, you know what I mean, that fast. And I'm looking at them in this beige and I'm like, is that dude wearing a hoodie? There's so many weird things that happened that night. not the beginning of the strangeness, because they're already happening. Because I'm already seeing those things in the ravine, the cemetery, the Roman Catholic cemetery, right? Mm-hmm. That's south, and it's about a quarter, less than a quarter mile from where I'm seeing this thing where Ten Mile Creek is, right? And that ravine has a stream that eventually goes into Ten Mile Creek. I see this thing and it goes so fast, and I'm like, that cannot be a person on a bike. And who the hell would, in the middle of August, wear a hoodie going that fast and riding their bicycle? No mm-hmm. one's going to do that. I mean, you'd be insane. It was super humid that night. I mean, like I said, there was something going on at the air that you could cut it like a knife. There's nobody that would be comfortable or would do that. I don't know anybody would do that. Honestly, to be have that hoodie covered over their head. Heavy type, look like a heavy sweatshirt hoodie.
Mm-hmm. What you're describing, I mean, I've had a similar thing where I was in that area we call Site 7. It was a very warm day. I don't know if it was August or September. It was about 85 degrees, but very warm. And I heard something in the brush beside me. I looked over and I saw what I first thought was a guy in a hoodie. I thought a guy wearing a gray hoodie. And then I thought, why is he, it's so hot. Why is he wearing a hoodie in this weather? Just caught it for a second, and then it tore off through the brush. You know, I don't know exactly what you saw, but I certainly had a very similar kind of sighting myself.
Well, this, like I said, if just imagine a guy that's hunched over on a bicycle. I'm not looking at his legs and his arms. I'm just looking at the back. Mm-hmm. And it's massive. And from what I can tell, because of the distance, all that, the size of the thing, it had to, I mean, it was bigger than a human being. It had to be three times as big as a human being.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It was massive. And so I'm walking around, and I'm doing this stuff like what Kate said to do, like, you know, make these crosses and gifting and all that. I didn't know how I was doing it. I had no idea I was going to be bringing trouble to my life. I just thought, just see what happens. You know what I mean? I've never seen these. I believe that these people believe that, and I believe these people had experience, but I never had any experience. If somebody's always been in the woods, and for one reason or another, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so eventually I go home that night. You know, you have these ethereal, supernatural, unexplainable moments. I mean, it's not the same thing as seeing a herd of deer or something cool that natural, you know what I mean? Where you remember it, but doesn't impact you the way this moment impacts you. You don't forget these moments because they go right into your soul. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen the heads pop up, and I now see something that's not black. It's beige and it's moving. And by the way, in my journey, there are black ones. And there's men that come with like a dog face. But it's the elongated kind of weird face, and I get an image of it. And then the brown ones, I have more of the what we call the ape-like face. And we hear about this too, but I didn't really hear about that until after having these experiences, right? That there's kind of a difference, you know what I mean, in face and shape and size. So the brown ones are more massive. And so what happens then a couple days later, that was when I meet the Crow medicine man that had no business being in downtown Sylvania Pier. But the night before, I'm talking to my big brother. He lives in Northern California, and he's seen Bigfoot, what they call Sasquatch, him and I think it was his son. They were horseback riding, and they saw it on the other side of the major stream that runs through, I think it's Paradise, California, or outside of it, the same place that burned down a couple years ago, that Paradise. Mm-hmm. He lost his home in that, ironically. A lot of strange things happened to people personally in my life during this time period. But anyways, so he saw it before, and we're talking. I said, Eric, I don't think these are what the people are saying. I don't think that from what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing, they're not behaving like flesh and blood animals or primates. To me, if this is what spiritual is, and you're talking to a guy who didn't even believe in spiritual, this is what it seems like. Mm-hmm. They're behaving and moving abnormally. They're not moving like normal creatures. And they seem to be aware of who I am, and they're giving me signs and all this. And he's on the phone, and he gets this prediction or prophecy, and he's a very, very religious dude. My brother says, you know what? If you recognize and you realize it is a spirit, I do be not surprised that you're going to end up running into Native Americans. And I go, why is that? And he goes, because they understand what's really going on. Well, okay. Well, I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell am I ever going to meet a Native American? And there's a Ojibwe tribe northern Michigan, but there's no like reservations in here around me for hundreds of miles. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the Rust Belt farm communities. That's what it is, basically, right? Like, okay. The next freaking day. So I go to all places, Little Caesar, to get some. I was hungry and I didn't want to cook and I didn't want to spend a lot of money on a decent pizza. So I went to Little Caesar's. You know what I mean? That's what you do. So, you know. And so I get this. And as I'm coming out to my car from Little Caesar's, once again, west of me, this dude's walking in the street. And I go, that dude don't fit at all. He's all dressed in black. He's got that long black hair. He's got long black hair, long black and gray hair. He's got the face of what I recognize as somebody who's truly a Native American, 100%. And he's walking in the middle of. And here's the other thing. And the reason, another reason why I really thought about it, because during this couple of week period, because I start doing all this, just looking around town, doing what the average person wouldn't do or recognize, you know what I mean? Because the average person is not going to be driving around their town looking for Bigfoot tree
right.
structures.
Right, right.
So down the hill from where Little Caesar is and where there's like a shopping plaza with all these restaurants, there's a big dumpster, right? But down the hill, I'd say 20 yards going down, I find this absurdly, it's not a big one, but there's a teepee structure and it's right next to like an office building. And it's along this strip where there's the incline hill that goes from restaurants and all that. Right. Then it's all like woods. It's like a grove type of thing. Think of a grove. And then there's a street. And in there's on the west of this parking lot, where the west side of this grove starts, and literally there's a path that leads up into like somebody constantly is going from the where this teepee structure is to this dumpster, right? Mm-hmm. It's not very far, and I'm like, this is really what's it doing in the middle of town? Do people know what's going on? So there's a teepee structure. This Native American is walking the one place that nobody walks. So I meet this guy. And I'm motivated to talk to him because my brother just said, you know, hey, man, you're going to run around across Native Americans.
So did you just walk up to him and say hello? Like,
well, I took my car and I pull and I'm on the other lane going towards the main drag where I go back home. And I roll my window down and say, hey, man, do you know about that teepee structure down there? And he goes, yeah. And I go, hey, man, I got some pizza. You want to talk? He said, yeah. He's got it kind of rough. You know what I mean? Looked like he probably actually could have some pizza. But that's what I was thinking. I was saying, wait a minute, this guy knows about the teepee structure and he's a dead ringer for a Native American. So I talked to him. I give him some pizza and I said, hey, man, what's your name? He says, Crow. Crow. I said, why do you go by Crow? He said, well, I'm a Crow Indian. We're talking. I said, you know about that? What's going on with that teepee structure? And you know, he looks at me. You know what's going on. Do you know about Bigfoot and Sasquatch and all that? And said, oh, yeah, I've seen them in Montana and Northern California and all that. And we're talking. I said, you know, I don't know him from Adam, but man, I finally find somebody that actually can relate to my experience. And it's getting dark now. It's like when I'm talking, first talking, it was about half an hour between that time. I guess would you go twilight from which, you know, from light to gets dark, mm-hmm. like dark, dark. And I'm talking to him and in the process, I'm saying, what are you doing? He's saying, just been walking around and all that stuff. And I go, where do you live? And he tells me where he's supposed to live, which I know is like 5 miles away. And I'm like, well, man, I'll drive you home and we can talk. And I said, oh yeah, you know what, dude, I believe I found what is called the nest, the Bigfoot. Because he said he knew that there was Bigfoot down there. in the process of this conversation, in, right?
Where you saw the tree structure.
Where we saw the tree structure along 10 Mile Creek, because the okay. creek is like 100 yards from that tree structure south. Anyway, I said, hey, man, you want to go check out? I found, I think it was a nest. It's in a ravine. And believe it or not, it's in the middle of a freaking cemetery, dude. He goes, yeah, man, let's go check it out. So we go over, drive over there. It only takes a couple of minutes to get there. Like I said, it's a quarter of a mile, and it's real close, you know, to get to. Easy to get to. We get there. We pull in there. And I said, man, you see that? See where that tree is? And it's in the ravine there, and it's real close to us. Just, what, 20 yards away, 25 yards away. And I said, man, I swear to God, I'm seeing heads pop up on the other side there. I swear to God. And in this ravine, it's got the grass. It's been like growing. They've kind of neglected. It's got small trees growing around. And the grass is, you know, several feet high and all that. And it's got this damn tree. That's now the leaves are like brown, but they're still on it, right? So, you know, we're at the edge of this, the ravine. There's like a drive, and it's only 5 feet from the where the ravine starts or the holler. It's cleared out there where we're at. I found a spot. It's a good spot just to view it. I said, yeah, man, this is where it's at. And he starts doing that traditional Bigfoot call that everyone does, right? Which I can't do because my MS and all, I can't even do it. But you know what I'm talking about, that. Oh,
yeah, like the howl.
The howl. Yeah. Howl. And he does it like he's done it before, he knows what he's doing, right? Damnedest thing, those heads pop up. Two of them. And it's getting dark, right? Two very black heads pop up on the other side of this fallen tree with the branches and all that. And he goes, man, you see that? You look at it? You see it? I say, yeah, man. You see the two eyes? They're like two heads, man. What the? And he goes, did you see the eyes shine? And I go, no, I don't see any eyes. I just see two very black cone-like heads popping up. And then the guy, he has peach in his hand, right? He throws a freaking pizza in there. A piece of pizza. Now, this is where I start to really realize there's something seriously wrong with what people are telling me what Bigfoot is. Because the next moment, one of them goes from one side of that tree to the other side of the tree, going up the ravine where we're at. And the damn thing is huger than hell. I mean, sorry for the language, but when you see one of these things, there ain't no way in hell that what I mean, this thing was massive. And it was doing, you know, somebody talk about the spider crawl. Well, I would say it's more like crawling up the ravine like a frog, and its legs were bent like a frog, and its hands were bent like a frog, and it was massive. The arms were massive. The body was massive. The head was the cone head thing, you know, but it wasn't huge, but it was sticking up. And the thing had to be at least 9 feet tall. At least.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying here. The one side of this tree that easily these branches are what, from one end to another end, 20 yards spread, going up maybe 15, 20 feet high. No way in hell anything that size. Heck, a fox, a deer would have a hard time getting through that, right? It went from one side and just like that to the other side. And the first thing I think, did that thing just jump over all that and get right there? It had to be between 10 and 15 feet. I say 15 feet. I was still 15 feet, right? It went from 15 yards to 15 feet from on our side of the ravine as it was crawling up. So it was that's going about half the distance, right? And the body was used, most of that was covering it. And remember, this is now, it's crawling like a frog, and I'm saying 9 feet. I can't even imagine the size of it if it would have stood up straight. Mm-hmm. The size of it and the weight of it, there is no way, if it would have jumped, the earth would have freaking shook.
Right. Yeah, you can hear squirrels jump in the woods, and squirrels sound massive sometimes, and they're just little squirrels. You know?
Yeah, if a 200-pound guy, if you would have jumped a couple feet, you definitely would have heard it, right?
Yeah, if not felt it, yeah.
Felt it. This size, didn't hear it. And not only that, didn't hear it breaking all the branches up to go through it. Because mm-hmm. the branches didn't break. So I'm thinking to myself, retrospect, and go, how did the hell something that big that's supposed to be flesh and blood either jump that fast, that high, that close, or go through those branches? And the answer is nothing flesh and blood could have done that.
Right.
Period. And while it's crawling up, this is more fascinating that I never forget. The shimmering of the body and the shimmering of like every hair on it. It was like it was electrical. Hmm. Or if it's like, how do you describe something? Like all its hair was like, it seemed to be, it looked, appeared as all raised, right? And it's shimmering. There's almost like electrical shim to it, but it was still jet black. And it was so jet black that even in the dark, because there was no light where we're at, there's no street light, no nothing. We didn't bring a flashlight. It was so black that you could still distinguish it from the darkness of the night, you know, wow. Going from, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And this is not something that is unique. Apparently other people have seen this, recognize this thing too, but it's massive and it's crawling up to us. And I turn to him and I go, dude, what the hell did you just do? Do you know what you just did? He goes, what? I said, that damn thing's coming home to me. I live in this town and you threw a freaking piece of pizza to it. What the hell are you thinking?
This thing is crawling towards you.
Yeah, he is.
Wow. And so how far away is it as it's crawling towards you?
I'm being very generous in distance as far as how far it was. 15 feet, right? We're on the edge of this ravine. It's all cleared where we're at. There's no brushes or trees. You can have perfect view of this thing. Mm-hmm. And by the way, these things would have a perfect view as well of anything that was going on in the cemetery or other place. It was a perfect place. I know what it is, and I know that sounds arrogant, it sounds like you'd be an expert, but there can be no other thing that is some form of spiritual, etheric entity that can move like that. And there's nothing else that can do it. It's weird because I'm not like super freaked out about it, like scared. As much as I'm pissed off that he threw that pizza, and for my research and knowing what these things and what other people said, instinctively, I knew this thing was coming home. Hmm. And in the end, it did come home.
Did he see it crawling up too?
Oh, hell yeah, he did. I go, you think we should pray? He goes, oh, no, no, no. And I'm like, all right, I've had enough. I said, get in the car, we're going. And I'm like, this thing is now like, I'm being very generous from the distance, 15 feet crawling up the, I mean, it's massive. It's like a car. I was only about 4 or 5 feet away from the front car door, right? Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I was pissed off at him and more fascinated about what's going on. The dread and fear didn't come until later on, months later, right? But at the time, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I'm like, is this really an animal? Is this real? Is this really happening? How can this possibly be happening? How is this happening to me? This is in the middle of my town. This is in the middle of a freaking cemetery and a freaking ravine. And this thing that size is crawling up a freaking. This is all the things running through your head. You know what I mean? You're dumbfounded. You're like baffled and amazed and everything else. But as it's crawling up to me, and this dude, there was something so off about him, I wanted to go. I didn't know who I was with. I was actually more worried about the guy than this thing crawling up, if that makes any sense. That's
interesting. Yeah. Before you hopped in your car, how close did it get to you?
I say 15 feet, but that's, I'm talking about the head. I don't know how close the hands got. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it when I got in the car. Mm-hmm. But then again, I was like, I was focused on getting the hell out, to be honest
with
you.
Right,
right. So, you know what I mean? If it would have stood up and been right next to me, I still would have just gotten, you know. And as I'm driving away, drop him off, I mean, we're talking and all that, I was asking him, so what kind of shamanism are you into? And he says, I'm into this, what he called dark death shamanism. Dark shamanism, something like that. Those two words were in shamanism. I'm like, oh, I never heard of such a thing. And I'm looking at him, and I go, didn't that bother you? He goes, oh, no. And then he starts bragging about Lucifer. Ezra and driving him home, right? And I'm more and more thinking about this, and I'm like, man, I really made a wise decision taking off, because now I got to get rid of the real problem, which is not the Bigfoot. It's this dude is supposedly supposed to be a crow shaman. I never eventually really got to his house. There was a restaurant, an Italian restaurant, and he asked me to pull in there into the driveway, and I dropped him off, and he walked the rest of the way to his house. But as I'm watching him, when he's walking in there, he just disappeared. He just kind of just got smaller and just like, why did that guy not want me to take him all the way to his house? I'm thinking to myself, how the hell did all this just happen? How did my brother, the night before, basically prophesy I'm going to hang out with a Native American? There's no Native Americans around where I live. I'm telling you, there's not. And I know damn well that guy didn't live in that neighborhood.
Did you ever see him again?
No. Hell no. I offered. I said, you give me your phone number, we'll talk, or just exchange emails and all that. He didn't want anything to do with that. After we just had one of the most amazing experiences, right? You would think, if you had an experience with somebody else, even if you didn't really know him after that, there was kind of like a bonding experience, right?
Yeah.
You would want to be friends. This guy wouldn't want anything. After we just saw freaking Bigfoot crawling up the freaking ravine, getting about 15 feet max from us.
Right. You mentioned that you had been doing a little gifting.
Yeah, and it wasn't a lot. It was just once. And it wasn't even that big of an effort. I just, a cross thing on the edge of the stream.
And when you say a cross, did you make a cross out of sticks or something? Is that what
you mean? She told you to do something like that. Make a cross. Make an X, man. And, just lay it on the ground somewhere. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, then the orb thing, then the UFO stuff. I mean, all this super stuff, supernatural, started happening. I didn't believe in any of it.
Did it start with Bigfoot, and then this other stuff kind of followed along with it?
Absolutely. And in the same time period, and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? A month ago or a couple of weeks ago, I'm saying this is all bullshit, literally.
Right.
What am I going to do? I got a scientific background. How do I explain to people what just happened? Mm-hmm. And who's going to relate with me with this? Because if you talk to people in the Bigfoot community, then they have this derogatory, I feel it's a derogatory term. It's the woo factor.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think they deliberately put it there as a derogative term to kind of keep people shut about the Bigfoot experience. Because it's more than just seeing some dude walking around or coming in and out of the woods. There's a lot more going on.
Absolutely there is. Absolutely there is. And that's why we've reclaimed the woo. It is a term of pride for us. The hardest thing, even for people who are generally open-minded, the hardest thing to grasp is that something, like Bigfoot, say, can be ephemeral and kind of like spirit and kind of not there. And then it can have a physical presence and be there and be very physical. And
absolutely.
And that's a very difficult thing. How soon after this experience where the shaman fellow threw the pizza into the gorge or whatever there, did it show up in your backyard?
Physically, the next major sighting was December the 17th.
Weeks, months, days?
So, it's from August to December. How many months is that?
All right, there you go.
But I've seen things in the process. I've had weird things, like the tree knock. Only happened once.
Mm-hmm.
Only happened once. But it was so profound. It sounded like it came from inside. And the other thing is chatter, my backyard. I remember the day. It was September. I was taking garbage out in the back to where we have a detached garage. So I'm taking out the garbage, and the girl next to me, she taking out the garbage too. And when we were talking, because something was getting into the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had to put some kind of, I put these straps on it, these bungees and these clamps, and they still open it up the lid. Mm-hmm. And as we're walking to take out the dump, we put the garbage in the garbage can, we hear this Bigfoot, what they call chatter, right?
Mm-hmm. Unknown language, in other words.
Yeah, that thing, what I mean? And I hear that, and I go, whoa. Did you hear that? And she goes, yeah, I heard that. So over there by the railroad tracks, and I look over there, and that same house, that same time period, that same couple months, lost two trees. The voices chatter. It's over there by the where there's like a ditch, you know, the railroad tracks always have like a little ditch on both sides, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. for water. Mm-hmm. I'm looking, she's looking, and there ain't a damn thing over there, mm-hmm. but the chatter. And she goes, "What is that?" And I turn, "The boogers." I know for me and a lot of people, the more you get into this stuff, the more this thing seems to manifest and really manifest, not just psychologically or in your dreams, your fantasies, they actually really manifest. I think you know what I'm talking about. I think anybody's done this knows what I'm talking about. And I'm like, this is the chatter. It was just once. I had another time when something just called out Mike. Mm-hmm. That was in my front yard, but there was nobody there, and it was early morning, and there was nobody. At first, I thought it might have been my neighbor across the street because he has cigarettes, but he was not there. There was nobody there. And I'm like, man, and these things just got more stranger as time got on. But the thing is, no, we didn't see the thing. She wasn't focusing on Bigfoot. She wasn't paying attention. She wasn't, you know, she's living her life. You know what I mean? She's doing other things. She wasn't mm-hmm. the last thing. She heard it along with me.
All this stuff is happening after he threw the pizza, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you notice that I'm starting to have now incidences where I have witnesses to verify or did or at least experience. I mean, it wasn't just me. We both heard it. And on the way, we're talking about what to do about the garbage lid and garbage because mm-hmm. something keeps getting in there. It's not the raccoons. There's nothing big enough to do it. We don't have bears. We don't have mountain lions or foxes wouldn't do anything like that. The coyotes, where we live, they're runts and they do everything possible to stay away from downtown, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the only thing possibly it could be is the hugest and smartest raccoons or something else that has the ability to take off clamps and bungee cords.
Right.
And dump all the garbage all over the place. I never went back to the nest after that. There was no way in hell I was going back to that nest after what I saw that night. You know what I mean?
Sure.
This is like this amazing discovery. I found this nest and it's going to prove it to people and all this. That's what I was thinking. You know what I mean? It happens. I'm with this dude. And I'm like, I don't ever want to see that thing again. Why do I want to see that thing again? That thing was massive.
Yeah.
And if this thing wanted to, it could rip me in a million pieces just like that. Mm-hmm. It was massive. And it shimmered, man. It was like it was electrical. Like, you know, if it was something that's just electricity running through the whole body. I don't even know what animal would do such a thing. But it was shaking, man. It was shaking like it was electricity running through it.
Wow. So what happens when it shows up in your backyard?
I really need time to talk about that one. It's serious. It's extremely serious. I mean, we're talking crazy stuff manifesting in the house. And I remember when it happened and we're walking out, we're taking my son to go for karate practice. And it was about 5:30. And we're going out to the car. And this thing, now this one was more brown and leathery. It had the leathery brown face. Mm-hmm. It had a big head. My thinking is that it came projected out of this tree. In the end of the day, it could have been just, it was there and it manifested itself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some people call it cloaking or it's invisible. I think it's on the other side of the veil and it goes through it myself. I think that's my opinion. Some people call it a different dimension or whatever you want to call it. But I think they're always around us and there are times they're allowed to go through the veil for whatever reason.
Leaving for karate with your son, 5:00. Heading out the door.
And this massive thing shows up. There's a tree and there's my neighbor's garage. And this thing, which by the way, right after that tree died.
Interesting.
But I'm not kidding. That tree literally died.
Interesting.
Broken in half. So this thing manifests. It comes from the roof, the top of the roof of the garage and comes towards me. It's like, and I'm like, whoa. When I'm looking at this thing, it has well on 12 feet. It's well over that. It's got to be more like 16 feet.
Wow.
17 feet. It's massive, and it's not an ape face, very leathery brown skin. It's got brown hair. It's got the grin on his face that people talk about. This really did. Like, hey, I'm really happy to see you, or I'm here to scare the shit out of you. I wanted to. You know what I mean? That that look. I can't forget the eyes. And there was no color to his eyes. It wasn't blue or green. It was just like brown eyes as well. And big eyes. The dark reset eyes, right? Cone head, you know. I mean, it's like, ew, what did you bring with you?
As it's coming towards you, when you say it came from the roof, like, did it climb down from the roof, or did it just kind of come from that direction?
It did not climb down. It's like it just flowed in, you know what I mean? Just it went from, like, being above the garage, and it's big, you know what I mean? But as it's floating, coming in to me, obviously, as it's getting closer to me, it's getting bigger and bigger, right?
Right, sure.
And so, but his face is right there, and I'm like, I was on any drugs, any hard drugs, anything like that. I mean, this thing happened, and I wasn't even thinking about Bigfoot at the time. You know, I wanted to do a dry spell, because, you know, when I do things, I'm one of those people that just, I go full bore at one thing, very linear. I got to learn everything about that one subject until I get burned out, and then I go to the next one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I really burned out of the Bigfoot thing, and I was just like, okay, I've seen Bigfoot. I've seen these things. I've seen them pop up in the ground. I've seen the damn things 15 feet from me. I've seen them in different colors. I've seen enough, you know what I'm saying, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm not focusing on Bigfoot. And this thing shows up, you know, just like Bigfoot. Now I'm feeling that threat, that dread that people talk about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And doom, and like, this thing came and floated into my driveway. It, like, shocks you to your core, and there's kind of hard to operate, right, as far as what to do. What's next? What do I do? I'm going to go back home. Is it going to be there?
Right.
The finale, one of the finales of the 3 days, and I'm sleeping in my room. I'm very concerned about my son. My son has turned this white, like he looked like a ghost from what happened. It's like something actually attacked my son when that face and all those entities showed up in my driveway, and that Bigfoot showing up. Something attacked my son, and my son, by day three, I mean, he's just like looking in the mirror, strangely, and he's pale white. So I'm really concerned about my son. I'm hearing stuff on the outside and all that kind of stuff. I'm seeing what's happening in my house. So on the third night, I'm sleeping in the same room with my son. I'm right next to him. I'm very concerned. I'm thinking something's going to happen to my son. 3:30 in the morning, around 3:30 in the morning, it was about the time my neighbor upstairs, Mike, one of our good friends, he comes to home from work every night, 3:30 a.m. Something wakes me up. Something's walking on my porch back and forth. And I'm hearing it. And I get the most pissed off I think I've ever been in my entire life. I make this sound, rah, 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 you know, like talking in tongues, screaming out loud, screaming, effing this and that, get the hell off my roof, right? And I hear this thing just run, right? Like it's been shocked and it doesn't know where to go. So it's going back and forth, and eventually he's off my roof, right? So Mike, he pulls into the driveway, which is in the back of our place. This thing just run off the roof, right, that I screamed at. Didn't see it, but I heard it. He saw it. When he pulled in, he said the next day when I saw him, because we're out in the back, and I said, Mike, there's been a lot of strange things happening, man. Did you see anything weird last night? And he says, yeah, man, I saw this dude, this really long dude, big. He's long, skinny, and he's all dressed in black. And he's walking on their side of our property, and he's walking at the side back of it, like he's going to lead down the road, side street. And he's just standing there, and he says, you know what? I got him a car, and I drove off after him to see what that, because somebody's walking in our back of our yard, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 3:30 in the morning. What the hell is this doing? What's going on? And you want to know what the hell's going on? He said he went and go chase him, and he couldn't find it. He just took off. But he said it's this black, tall, skinny dude. And what I mean, like, it's all black.
Right, right. He saw something after you heard it go off your roof.
Yeah. My son's there when I get it. We have this attack. on the end, my neighbor sees it. So there's people who are all seeing it.
Did your son see the creature in the backyard or in the driveway, the one on the way to karate?
You know, I didn't talk to him about it. I just assumed he did. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to him about it at all. How do you? What am I supposed to talk to my 6-year-old son about what just happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, son, is everything going to be right? That was just a Bigfoot and all that. And I'm just like, I'm hoping. I was hoping maybe he did see it. Can we talk? By that time, he's 6, and I'm 49. I don't know what the hell is going on. How the hell does he know what's going on? How am I supposed to say to my 6-year-old son, hey, dude, there's a bunch of spirits and demons or Bigfoots or whatever the hell's going on in there in our house attacking us?
Yeah, no, it might have been better not to mention it, sure.
But what I did do is I did a lot of praying and I spent all my time right next to him. For 3 days, I slept in his room. But after that and after I got really aggressive – and saying, get the hell out of here, the name this, that, and everything else, they never came back. And the thing ended.
Interesting. So just to sort of recap, in your experience, this creature, not a physical creature at all.
I believe that
they can be physical, but they're not like an animal.
They can manifest and come into the physical plane. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they're operating parallel to us in the spiritual realm. Because I know they're right there. And you don't need to be deep in the woods. You don't need to be you as somebody who's done your own investigation, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I've said it myself. You don't need to be way out in the middle of the wilderness. They're a lot closer than people think. Thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's great therapy. Thank you, man.
Well, it's my pleasure.
"90 Days to the Perfect Puppy." If you have a puppy and you need help with training, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy has a relationship-based approach to training that helps you and your puppy become perfect for each other. They have online sources, video lessons, they have a secret Facebook group, but of course, one-on-one options are available as well. You can find 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can help you understand how your dog thinks and apply proactive training methods so you and your puppy can become perfect for each other. So whether you need help with mouthing and biting, potty training, fear and nervousness, barking, chewing on furniture or shoes or other things your puppy shouldn't be chewing on, crate training, hyperactivity issues, leash training, and more, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy can help you. They can teach you what to do and also, perhaps more importantly, what not to do. Again, you can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. Before we do our Curiosity of the Week, I would like to thank Carl P. for his generous PayPal donation. Thank you very, very much. That's a huge help. Our patrons help. The PayPal donations help. Supporting us through our Etsy shop helps. It all helps us to make Strange Familiars and keep content coming your way. So thanks again, Carl. All right, we have a curiosity.
This is probably one of like sort of what might have been called an arcade card.
An arcade card.
I think because it's the right size and kind of the right time period. So this is sort of like the equivalent. Remember those little folded up things we used to do when we were kids that would fold up into, what do they call them?
Oh, I remember. I know what you're talking about.
They were triangular and like you would.
And you'd ask questions.
You'd ask questions. And at one time I knew how to fold them all
into.
You
open them up and then depending on how many times you open them, you get different.
Yeah, yeah. It was like they had like 4 different sections.
So this doesn't do that at all.
This doesn't do that at all. But it reminds me of it's sort of like proto version of it because this has your future husband on it.
Yeah, but it's a palm reading card.
Yeah, and it kind of tells you about what your future husband looks like and what.
Based on the shape of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read it?
Oh, no, you can read about your future husband.
Okay. Well, it shows a picture of your future husband on it in case you're curious.
He's not really my type, but you know.
He's not a bad looking guy.
Yeah, he's just not my type.
Yeah. Your future husband.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for someone with shorter, stubbier fingers, I suppose. Is that what they're showing there?
They almost look like they're squared off at the end. So
your fingers are called square fingers. I'm reading from the card here.
Oh, okay.
And combined with your comparatively large thumb, show that you have great perseverance, foresight, order, and regularity. It is the hand of a thorough commercial genius, greater in execution than in conception, and a progressive, law-abiding citizen, and a steady plodder, not speculator. Rather strict in your methods, exacting as much from others as you exact from yourself, insisting upon punctuality, neatness, and correctness in every detail, you are a lover of athletic sports, are fond of reading, traveling, and take very little on trust. You are a good diplomat, shrewd, and practical.
I don't think that one's for me.
Well, you don't have squared off fingers, so.
No. One of us has a hitchhiker's thumb.
Oh, yeah. I got a major hitchhiker's thumb. There's some people in the Strange Familiars Discord who find my hitchhiker's thumb particularly disturbing.
I do, too, because it looks like it's constantly... In fifth grade, I'm going to call him out. I'm going to call the kid out.
Uh-oh. Allison's naming names.
In fifth grade, Chris Gaines. He dislocated my thumb in a vicious game of bombardment because I was the last person on my side because, you know, I didn't really participate. I was just hovering in the back. I mean, you can imagine how this goes. I was just hovering in the back holding the ball, hoping that time would run out before I had to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes what happens is like that avoidance leaves you as the last man standing. Mm-hmm. So I was the last man standing and it was just him and me and I knew I was going down. And I just stood there and took it and he threw the ball as hard as he could and he hit my ball and then it went into my thumb and I dislocated it. Mm. And that's what your thumb looks like all the time. That's my story.
My hitchhiker's thumb looks dislocated.
Chris went on to be the valedictorian of our class, so I'm just saying.
I'm going to bleep this, by the way, his last name, just so.
I have no problem with Chris.
People will hunt him down. Back to our curiosity of the week. The arcade card.
Yeah.
The palm reading arcade card. It's got all the different lines on it, but I guess it's based more on the shape of your hand. In any case, some kind of hand divination card, arcade card. There'll be an image of this in the show notes. Mm-hmm. If you click on that, it'll take you to our Etsy shop where you can purchase this and other curiosities of the week. We still have some left up there. Also on Etsy, copies of my books. If you get them from Etsy, they come signed. Etsy's the only place you can get my art book, Apparitions, Illustrations of the Other. Unless you catch me live somewhere. We have Strange Familiars t-shirts there, a few of the long sleeve High Strangeness Tour shirts, and the classic Awoken Tree shirts, Strange Familiars stickers, original artwork, prints, and more. Go ahead and check it out. Our Etsy shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. And while you're on Etsy, check out Chad's shop, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors, and our friends at Karmic Garden as well. That's it for this episode of Strange Familiars. We'll be back soon with more. Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more Stone Breath or purchase music, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. We are on Instagram, @strangefamiliars, and you can find us on the web at strangefamiliars.com.
I ramble among the leaves so fine. I overheard a young woman converse with Rainer Dine. Her hair was black, her eyes were blue, her lips were were red as wine. He smiled to gaze upon her, a sly old painter dying. She said, good sir, be civil, my company for sale. For by my own opinion, I fear you are a ray. He said, I am no ray, brought up in Venus' train, searching for concealment from the judge's men. Lost their former dime, and she fell into his arms along the mountainside. He had not kissed her once or twice, and she came to again, and modestly she asked him, good sir, what is your name? Chance you'll not me find, I'll be in my green castle, inquire for rain a time. Day and night she followed him, his eyes did brightly shine, led her over the mountain, a sly bold rain.